music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We've got a great show for you, kicking off with R&B superstar in the making, Tinashe. She's one of the hardest working artists in the music industry today and counts the legendary Janet Jackson as a fan. Up next is Juno Award-winning rapper Classified talking about his collaboration with Snoop Dogg and playing a trivia game with us called Rapper's Delight. The Young and the Restless's Sean Carrigan drops by to talk about being on the number one rated daytime drama. And we wrap things up with singer-songwriter Emily and her latest song, Worst Enemy.
We are so excited to welcome Tinashe to the Kelly Alexander Show. Hello, my sweet. First of all, you are beautiful.
Thank you.
You are super photogenic. Do you get that all the time?
I mean, I guess. Yeah, thank you.
Yay.
Thanks.
This explains why you're not only a singer, you're an actress. You're a model, or a form model, I guess.
I mean, I take pictures, but I don't necessarily consider myself like a model per se.
And a killer dancer on top of it.
Thank you.
Has anyone told you like you're a triple threat? Have you got that yet?
Yeah. No, it's cool. I mean, I don't like to limit myself to like one thing or another. I try to just do everything.
So do you have, though, something that really sticks to you? Is it the singing? Is it the acting? Like, what calls to your soul?
I mean, music for me is the most fulfilling. So that's, you know, where I can see that my music is affecting people and, you know, it means something to people. That's the big reward.
Talk to us about the fact that you produce and write a lot of your own beats. Like, I love, like,
Thank you. Honestly, you have gone,
I already thought you were cool, but you were way up here. Like, when I knew this, I was like, this girl can do it all.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, it's like, I don't want to wait around for people to do things for me. I don't want to, like, have to, you know, meet someone in order for them to, like, produce a song for me or record a song for me. So I basically just taught myself how to record and produce my own music, like through YouTube tutorials and like trial and error. So
that's
amazing. Very advantageous as a young artist, especially like a young woman artist, to be able to create your own voice and not like need any other opinions.
That is fantastic. Now, when you do create your stuff, is it lyrics first or beats first? Like, how do you make it happen?
Usually it's melody first.
Okay.
The melody, and then with that comes the beat, and the lyrics are usually like last.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes, I mean, like, I'll have, like, a concept or general idea first, but, like, as far as, like, all the specific lyrics, that's usually, last.
And how would you categorize your music? Like, I know a lot of people want to say, you know, it's R&B star Tinashe, but, like, where do you... Because I know you mentioned in something I read that you like dark stuff, but you have, a sweet voice, so it mixes the two.
I really enjoy being kind of in the gray area between genres. Like, I really like to not be able to fully place my music. I think, you know, as people, and especially for me as a creative person, I have just a lot of different sides of me and a lot of different elements that I want to share through the music. So I think even though it is rooted in a place of R&B, there's a lot of hip hop influence, a lot of pop influence, electronic influence, and alternative influence. And it's just kind of all just like
all
mushed together.
What's in your, like, for lack of a better word, iPod right now? Like, what are you listening to?
Right now I'm listening to Kanye's new album.
Okay.
I've been listening to the Internet Ego Death album, which is probably one of my favorite albums from like last year and bleeding into this year. And then I always go back to like my old school phase. Like, I love Sade and obviously Jan Jackson.
Our girl.
So, yeah.
When it comes to your stuff, can you actually listen to your stuff? Because I know, like, I used to sing a bit, and I cannot listen back. I don't like hearing myself. Yeah.
When I'm creating the music, I actually could listen to it like obsessively. Obsessively, and like over and over and over and over again, and like pick out like everything. But like once it's released, I find myself like I don't. Really
You're done with it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's out. Okay, cool.
Now I follow you on social media, specifically Instagram. I see a lot of yourself on Instagram, and you are a workhorse. Like,
you're a
workhorse. What drives you? Because I find there's so many young artists like yourself that don't put in the work and don't put in the time, and I just feel like you are going for it constantly.
Thank you. Well, for me, I think that it really starts with there's no plan B. There's no fallback. There's no other option for me. So I see this as kind of like life or death in a way.
Okay.
Like, this is going to work. So I'm also at the time in my life where I feel like I can focus 150% into what I'm doing. You know, like, I'm not in like a relationship. I don't have kids. I have no commitments. I'm basically just focused right now on me, myself, and growing my career. And it's really... I'm really focused and I enjoy that right now.
When you were opening for, like, what's the difference between opening for Katy Perry mm-hmm. versus Nicki Minaj?
Both of them were really great learning experiences for me, just being able to be in front of very different audiences mm-hmm. and just to see. I think it's always great when you're exposed to other people's fan bases as well. So mm-hmm. The biggest difference, I think, between the two is they're just really different artists in general. Like Nicki, she's much more about like conversationalism. She's very conversational
when she's on stage.
With her fans. Like she's okay. always talking to them. She's always, you know, she's connecting with them on that level, which was something I really admired and thought was really cool. Mm-hmm. Katy is all about like the production, like production value, whether it be like all the lights, all the costumes, like set changes. I thought that was really awesome too. So yeah, I think there's stuff that I've learned from both of them, but they were both really cool experiences.
Now, some people would say that your audience might be a bit more niche, especially if it is like that R&B crowd. Mm-hmm. But opening up for like a Katy Perry, do you find you've pulled some of her fans to you now?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that that's the best part about opening for someone is mm-hmm. it gives you that opportunity to introduce other people to my music. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now I have all sorts of like Tinashe, Argentina and stuff, like all the places that I visited on awesome. The tour. So that's cool.
Now I have to ask you about your Janet Jackson love. I have
yes.
to. Because all my fans know that I love Janet. So when I got to or knew I was going to speak to you, I was like, I have to ask about what it was like getting the call to do the BET Awards.
I freaked out. I was jumping up and down, obviously. I mean, just to being a Janet tribute, first of all, is a crazy big deal because I'm a huge fan of her. Mm-hmm. And I was actually found out that she had like specifically asked for me to be in the tribute. That was the real icing on the cake because then I was like, oh my God, Janet knows who I am.
Amazing.
And not only does she know who I am, but she wants me to, you know, be a part of her tribute. So I thought that was incredible.
Did you get to pick the song or did they tell you which song that you were going
to
do?
I got to like pick the ones that I like my wish list.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But then I was like assigned Pleasure Principle. but I was with it. I like Pleasure Principle as well.
You guys also killed it on Rhythm Nation all
yes,
together.
That was fun.
What was it like hanging out with Jason Derulo and Ciara?
It was crazy. Actually, nobody knows that backstage there was like so much drama because Jason almost missed his flight. The flight almost didn't make it in time.
Oh my goodness.
So everyone's like, Jason's 45 minutes away. And it was crazy. But they're both really, really sweet and cool artists. So mm-hmm. it was fun.
What do you take away from Janet? Because for many people, she's a living legend, obviously. And a yes. lot of people compare you to her career. What do you take away from Janet?
The biggest thing, I really admire the fact that she is so well-rounded in all aspects as a performer and an entertainer. And, you know, it's like every single thing raises the bar from the live shows to the music videos to the choreography to the styling to the music itself. So there's just so many things that I admire.
I feel like you also get what she has accomplished and are pushing it in the 2016 version. Is that how you feel?
I mean, I like the fact that she felt that she was rooted in an R&B place, but she definitely had like all sorts of pop influence. She could do different types of songs. She could, you know, give different types of looks and mm-hmm. like evolve and change from album to album. And that's definitely something that I want to be able to continue
doing. Now, if you could go out for dinner to pick someone's brain that's either in the world now, like in the music industry now, who would it yeah. be and why?
Probably Beyonce, because I feel like that would just be really interesting. I want to know what Beyonce thinks and like day to day. I just want to know.
And tell us what your fans mean to you, because I think you have ardent fans, like you were just talking about, like Tinashe, Argentina. What do yeah. they mean to you like every day? Especially because I'm sure you get messages like, oh my God, your song, you know, picked me up out of the dump. Like
definitely. And yeah, I think that's what makes it all worth it. Okay. It makes all like the hard work and the traveling and the stress. They're really what, you know, keep me going, keep me inspired, because mm-hmm. they express to me how much my stuff means to them. And then I realize, you know, I got to keep going because I'm not just doing it for myself. I'm doing it for all these other people, and they're really, really, really incredible. So
now I always feel blessed that I get to speak to artists such as yourself, because I almost feel like I'm the conduit between fans and the artists. And so I did want to ask you, like, just with regards to your fans, that, you know, do you see their specific messages? Like, can you?
I do. Okay. I definitely do. I see them probably even more than people think. I'd be lurking sometimes, like lurk mode on Twitter, reading everyone's DMs and stuff. So I see it. I appreciate it. It means a lot. Even if I don't respond to every single thing, I try to respond as much as I can.
Awesome. Now, before we let you go, a really quick game we call If You Could Be.
Okay.
Okay. So if you could be Michael Jackson, what would be your favorite album? Off the Wall, Thriller, Bad, or Dangerous?
Oh my gosh. That is so hard. I think Bad.
Okay. If you could be Britney Spears, what would be your favorite music video that you've done? Baby One More Time, I'm a Slave for You, or Toxic?
Slave for You.
I knew it. I knew you were going to go there. I knew it. Okay. If you could be Miss Janet Jackson, what would be your favorite choreography? Pleasure Principle, Rhythm Nation, If or I Get Lonely?
I mean, I have to go with Rhythm Nation. It's so iconic.
Okay.
Iconic.
Okay. If you could be Christina Aguilera, what would be your favorite song to sing? Genie in a Bottle, Come On Over, Beautiful, or Dirty?
Definitely Genie in a Bottle.
I knew it. I knew it. And last one, back to our girl, Miss Janet. If you could be Janet Jackson, what would be your favorite movie to be in? Poetic Justice, Nutty Professor, or For Colored Girls?
Poetic Justice. I gotta get that. Yeah, I gotta get that Tupac action.
Oh, nice. Tinashe, you rock, my sweet.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Tinashe hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, what up? It's Tinashe hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Metro Boomin wants some more.
Might change your life. I've been doing shit that might change your life. Oh yeah. No light, no hype. I've been doing shit these seats don't like. Oh yeah. But we driving fast in a slow lane. And I do dumb stunts like I'm moving. We be on jets like jacuzzi. But we busting off like a Uzi. Yeah. I be on the block with shorty. Going extra hard. Yeah, we just my order. Need to re-up, we connect with a homie. Every time I call it, pull up for me. Yeah. And I whip the whip till it's blue black. And everybody asking where the roof at. They wanna know how I do that. Oh, just drop the top. I got supply. Go ahead of time, you lie. Just ride with me. We gon' hit the streets. Take you all change your life, oh yeah. No gas, no hype. I've been doing shit these don't like. Oh yeah. I'm the one with doing damage. My name on your bitch, yeah, she tatted. We just got that, we've been had it. You know they gon' hate, they can't stand it. No wonder why they all on me. LeBron can never ball on me. And I could get the money like Voez. Backseat, we could start it before play.
On Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Very happy to welcome rapper Classified to the Kelly Alexander Show. Hello.
How are you?
Very well. I'm so happy to see you. It's been a couple of years.
It's been a couple years.
So first of all, tell us why you named the new album Grateful and the way you spelled it, because it's different.
Yeah, well, just obviously the obvious reason, Grateful, just for what I get to do. You know what I mean? Being a rapper from Nova Scotia, didn't think it would really last this long, you know what I mean? And just even personal life, family, kids, everything. I'm in a pretty good spot, and I'm definitely grateful for what I get, you know, what I receive and stuff. But on the flip side, I always got to flip something, right? So it's, you know, at the same time of this life that we chase for greatness, it takes a lot of hard work. So I just think anybody who, you know, works for that greatness in their life, whatever that is, you know, if you get there, be grateful for it.
Now, I read, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong, was this album number 15? For you?
I don't know.
It seems like it's a lot. 15
or 16, somewhere. A lot, yeah.
Did you know when you were making it that it was going to be a little bit different than other things you've done? Or, like, was it...
Not really. Like, because, like I said, this is, like, my 15th, 16th album. It's pretty much, you know, I make the album, spend my time in the studio, go on tour, and go back and work on some more music. But with this one, we stopped doing shows for, like, the last year and a half. I think I only did 2 shows in the last year just because I was like, I want to stay home, be with the family, the kids, and hang in my studio and just work on this record. So I think that's why I made it a lot more personal. I was just in the studio a lot more times alone, and I find when you're alone, you dwell on life more and you think about stuff. So I think that was the biggest difference.
Was there pressure for you because of coming off of Inner Ninja, which in 2013, everybody lost their mind?
It was like the biggest sign that year.
Yeah.
There was, but there wasn't. Like, I know about, like, I get it. I've been doing music long enough. It's not like you just get a hit every song and it blows up. You get some. Like, I thought O Canada was going to be my biggest record. I was like, that's not going to happen again. You know, Olympics in Canada, all that stuff. Then Inner Ninja happened 2 or 3 albums later. So that was a moment, but it wasn't like we went in this going, okay, we got to make that song that's going to be bigger than Inner Ninja. So it's, if it happens again, great. But if not, I'm glad it already happened once. Twice.
Talk to us about Snoop Dogg being on the new album, because, I mean, everybody loves him. And how did you guys hook it up?
Like, I'm just a Snoop Dogg fan. Like, we played shows over the years, we've talked, but he doesn't really know me. You know, we said what's up or whatever. And then when I was working on this song, No Pressure, it had a whole East Coast, West Coast thing in the chorus. And I was like, man, what if we just try to get Snoop? You know, kind of as a joke. And then we started thinking about, like, why not? Let's reach out. And manager went back for like 2 or 3 months. They were talking. It wasn't really going anywhere. And then, what's his name? Bubbles.
Yeah.
Mike Smith from Trailer Park Boys. I talked to him a little bit, and he told me that he was coming to shoot Trailer Park Boys in Halifax for like a week. He was just staying in this little motel. So we reached out. I was like, hey, I'm 20 minutes down the road. They heard the song. They liked the song. They're like, bring us a studio. And we went and did it in his hotel room.
Wow. What was it like recording with him? Like,
what do you think?
I feel like it's super chill. Super chill.
Like,
just super
chill. Very chill, very cloudy, very,
very cloudy.
Exactly what you think Snoop Dogg is. Like, I think that's why he's been around so long and why people, either you love him or hate him, because he is who he is. You know, he's like, hey, what's up? I'm Snoop Dogg. Okay, what are we doing? Put the track on. Okay, let's smoke and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it's very, very chill.
Now, talk to us about you working with Ria May on the album, because you produced Close Off, which is obviously has done extremely well for her past year, and Juno nominated, and I'm sure you're very proud.
Very.
What's it like for you to now, like, I mean, I know you've produced for other artists, but like, this one is going really well.
This is the first record that really kind of went gold, you know, really blew up. So for me, it's awesome. I've been producing for other people since like 2002, like since I started kind of producing my own stuff. Always been working with more so rappers and stuff, but even guys like David Miles, who does really great too. Chad Hatcher back in the day, Jordan Crocher, a lot of guys I've always worked with. But to see something like blow up like it is right now, now she's touring all the states, and we made her whole album in Enfield in my small studio. We did the whole record. Sony flew out the president. We played it for them in the studio, and they offered a deal on the spot. Like, it's pretty, it's like fairy tale, you know what I mean?
You don't think
that stuff happens, but.
Do you think you're going to head more in that direction as you, producing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I find I already do already, you know what I mean? Like, I'm always in the studio, but more so working with other people, younger artists, other singer-songwriters. But yeah, that's what I want to do when I'm like old and can't get in the van no more and do this stuff anymore. I just want to be in the studio working like that.
Are you harder on them or harder on you when you're
recording?
You? Okay.
Me. That's why I like working with other artists too. I find it more relaxing. You get to vibe off people. Like, do you like this? Do you like this? When it's me, I'm like, I don't know what I like. It's just kind of chaos. So it's good to have someone to bounce off.
When you were last on, we talked about your kids. And now, obviously, they're a couple of years older. What's it like for them to see daddy doing his thing? And do you like them to see what daddy's doing, like, when he's recording?
Certain things. Oh, when I'm recording? No, they don't come in the studio. Can't be in the studio recording. I like that they get to see what I do. And they know that, like, this is something I started when I was a kid and I fell in love with it. And I like that they can just see that, okay, you can do stuff like this if you want to do it. But they don't really get the whole aspect of it yet, I don't think. My 7-year-old does a bit, but the 2 younger ones, They're just like, oh yeah, Danny Raps, that's classified.
What was it like hosting the 2014 Juno Awards? Because you looked like you were having the best time, and you were great at it.
Yeah, it was weird because we finished our tour. No, we were in the middle of the tour. We played Ottawa Saturday night.
Yeah, and then you flew, right?
In, yeah, they flew us in that night. And usually you have the whole weekend to prepare for this thing. So I'm not going to lie. When they even asked me, I was like, what? I don't want to host. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't do that stuff. It's like, I like making music, doing my shows. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, it's you, Serena, and Johnny. I was like, okay, that sounds cool. Mm-hmm. I knew Serena a bit and stuff. So I was like, let's just go for it. We flew up. I got up Sunday morning. They're like, this is what you got to do the whole show. We kind of went over it a few times.
Yeah.
Show happened. Drank some wine. I was just like, let's just go for it. So it was fun. You know what I mean? I had a good time.
What's it like being at the Junos with your Canadian compadres, if you will? Like, are you super proud of where the Canadian music scene is at these days?
Yeah. I think the music industry is always, you know what I mean? Definitely the hip-hop scene, the urban music or whatever you want to call it, is definitely... You know, like Bieber, The Weeknd, and Drake are like the three biggest stars in the world. You know what I mean? So Canadian music, it's up there. But we've always had the Celine Dion's, the Bryan Adams. We've always had our stuff out there. Mm-hmm. But for me, the Junos is like the time to go just reconnect with people that you don't see. Because all these artists are usually on tour. You never really see anybody. And it's like that weekend to reconnect with all your friends. And you make, that's how you build those connections too of artists you might work with in the future and stuff.
Do you have any Canadian artists right now that you are watching out for and like would maybe like to collaborate with? And even like, I know Serena's coming back soon. Would you ever want to do stuff with
her? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Rhea and Serena, I don't know if we'll start with this. They just wrote a song the other day that she sent me that she wants me to work on with them maybe. So, yeah, I'd love to work with. There's a million artists. I like that kid Lucas Graham. I know he's not Canadian.
Oh, yeah, 7 years, his song. Yeah,
I heard
good.
That song like 2 months ago on like the small radio station in Halifax.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, what is this? And I've been looking up his stuff. A lot of his older songs. You see the video for it?
Yes, I did.
It's good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, we want to play a game with you called Rapper's Delight. Are you ready for this?
Rapper's Delight.
Rapper's Delight with Classified. All right, so here we go. What is the name of the group that recorded the 1979 song Rapper's
Sugar
Delight?
Sugar Hill Gang.
Can you name the five members of MWA when they dropped...
Ice Cube, MC Ren, Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, and DJ Yella.
Name the legendary rapper from Queens who stars on NCIS Los Angeles.
From Queens?
Yeah, or Hollis Queens. He's on... He's on.
You're not talking about Ice-T.
No. He stars in the NCIS Los Angeles.
Oh, LL Cool J.
There we go. Name the Canadian rapper who won the 2005 Juno Award for Single of the Year with the song Crab Bucket.
Chaos.
Yay. Who is the best-selling artist of the 2000s in the United States. He's the best-selling artist in the 2000s.
Of all the 2000s?
Yeah, in the U.S.
Yeah. Eminem?
You got it. And you got to get this one right. Name the artist who won Rap Recording of the Year at the 2013 Juno Awards.
Me?
Yay!
Nice. I wasn't sure about that one. I was like, I think it was that year.
Fantastic. When the tour is done, are we going to expect other things from you? Like, are you going to chill out for the summer, or are you
going
to keep
doing
stuff?
No, we're going hard. Like I said, okay. I've been in the studio for 16 months working on this, so I want to push this record for like 8 months. I want to have creative visual pieces for almost every song on the record, and then festivals, and then we're not doing another tour in September, and then I think me and David Miles are going to do like an acoustic auditorium tour in January. So, yeah, lots to do.
I can't wait. Keep coming back.
Thank you.
Classified right here on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, what's up? This is Classified. You're listening to The Kelly Alexander Show. So keep listening.
It's Classified, baby.
It's the weekend on the East Coast. Got a little crazy last night. Woke up in the backseat of a rowboat. No calls, don't fall.
You ready?
Always. I get the door of the deep end.
And homeowner, show closer, show boater and stone thrower. Party people and the people staying home sober. It's for the ones who give me love and the cold shoulder. I do this for the loan brokers and the YOLOers, the go getters and the Monday morning no showers. It's for the high rollers with no chauffeurs and the ones who ain't got nothing to hide like home overs. Take a spice rum with a little cold soda. I'm the giving type, organ and bone donor. You can feel the pressure building as you grow older. It's grind hard, yeah, I told ya. This is for
the weekend on the west coast.
We
got a little crazy last night. Woke up in the backseat of a rowboat. Had no calls, no phone, home calls.
Yes,
from the best. No pressure nonetheless. One might come test until they figure out. I've been just knocking the beat, giving this grip, taking a trip, and having a sip. I made your girl want a skinny dip when she seen me. Rub my nimbus, if it's in my mind, it's another day. But if it reappear, do it then. Gave it to a best friend, blew it then. See, I don't even know where I'm at.
But we smoking.
Somewhere in Nova Scotia, Canada, busting the map. You see, pimping ain't got no restrictions. I'm your DJ while I'm staying in the mixing, fixing the batch. I woke up with a pen, I'm hell, I'm a stick bag, cause I'm cool like that. See, it's a Monday, a fun day, and one day I quit. But until then, it's just working with lit, cause it's the weekend.
On the West Coast, baby. Got a little crazy last night. I woke up in the backseat of a
gonna pay for this tomorrow, cause tonight we going in like a porno, and tonight we going hard like a porno, and then we gonna eat out or DiGiorno. I'm worn out with a sore throat and hungover. I'm a train wreck, rain check, I done told ya, these late nights and early mornings soon gotta go. Guess I can't expect to hit the highs and not the lows. I pick my battles, I ain't trying to do this every night, trying to slow it down so I can party long as Betty White. No pain, no gain, no pressure, no diamonds. It's Groundhog Day for all my people surviving.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
Very excited to welcome this man to the Kelly Alexander Show, Mr. Sean Kerrigan. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And I'm so excited because all of my listeners know that I'm a huge YNR fan. So.
I think it's great because I'm a fan of the show myself.
Great. So do you watch the episodes?
I watch the episodes. I used to just, when I first started, I would watch my own.
Yeah.
You know, my own scenes.
Your own scenes.
I'm not going to lie. But then... I recently, like probably in the last 4 or 5 months, I've just started. Now I'm hooked.
Now you're hooked.
I'm hooked on the show, and so now I love watching it. And I yell at the TV. And I'm like, come on! Oh, what are you? And, you know, like when Chelsea interrupted Adam when he was about to tell everybody that he
yes.
was Adam.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden Chelsea came in. I was like, oh come on! Oh come on, Chelsea! Really, really? You know, he was about to tell everybody that he's
right.
Adam.
Do you like that the show, I find, because I've been watching forever, since right. 1991, I'm totally dating myself, but in the last, I would say, 18 months, it's picked up, like pace is so yeah. much quicker.
Yeah.
Is it hard for you guys? Because everything's, it just seems the pace is, really
I think
fast.
I think that the stories, it's kind of picked up steam as far as, just storylines,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's the new writing of Chuck Pratt.
Okay.
I think that's his style. I think he likes a lot of action. He likes things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the show is great right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's
amazing.
And I'm a big fan of the show right now. And then all the fire scenes that we got to do.
How crazy was that? How many days did it take to shoot that?
It was pretty much throughout the week. It took about a week for all, and that's not, maybe it was just a few days. Trying to think, it was pretty much all week long because we shoot so fast.
Mm-hmm.
We usually just we shoot about 80 something pages a day.
Crazy.
And so this spanned out over the whole week, and it was just it just felt like you were shooting a high action or high budget action movie.
Okay.
And especially with the stunts and the pyrotechnics, mm-hmm. and we had stunt doubles for some of the stuff, and then I got to do some of my own stunts, mm-hmm. when I jumped through the door and
nice.
the explosion and
that
all that
crazy.
Stuff. And so it felt like that week felt like you were, in an action movie.
What's it like when all the cast gets to come together? Because so many of you are in pocket storylines where you don't.
Right.
But when obviously with fire, it was all you guys at the ball.
Yeah.
And
no, it was great. And you're so used to acting with just, you know, a couple scene partners or one scene partner at a time. And so it's always a little nerve-wracking when you first come in. You know, I have to come in and tell everybody there's a fire in the building.
And they don't believe you.
And they don't believe me, number one. And then I'm like, you know, I'm looking at all these, I'm looking around the room at all these actors who have just been there for years and who are just so awesome. And so I'm like, man, I got to make, I better be able to perform and sell this. So
and how great is it? Because I love that your character, because like sometimes with new characters, they build them in slowly, right? But with yours, it's just like, boom, you're with Victor Newman. Boom, you're hanging out with like talking to Nikki. We're Victoria. Yeah. Like, what's it like that you were thrust in with like Eric Braeden?
It's incredible. It's incredible. And you know, I think my storylines from the get-go have been amazing. You know, I was only supposed to do 4 episodes.
You're right.
I was just supposed to come on and help support Dylan's backstory.
Right.
You know, his time in the war. And so the fact that they kept bringing me back. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just worked on it really hard so that I knew that if I had a shot, mm-hmm. you know, I could convince them to kind of keep my character around. So I was just, you know, those early days when you saw my character, I would come in super prepared.
Okay.
And I would come in and, you know, I would work with Steve Burton a lot.
Yeah.
And we would just, I formed a relationship with him, like a friendship outside of.
Okay.
And that's not why, I'm just saying, but I got to know him.
Yeah.
So that so he and I had a rapport and a better camaraderie. And then it's just the same thing as, you know, I've taken my time to get to know people so that when I do have scenes with them, mm-hmm. you know, it comes off real.
How important is it for you, like, because you've had so many female characters, like lead, mm-hmm. like lead co-stars, you've been with Victoria, you've been with Ashley, Abby. What's it like to have so many in such a short time, like, frame?
Well, it's the Victoria thing was a shocker to me.
Okay.
Because all of a sudden, you know, it's, you have to
sleeping
imagine
with her in the back of a car.
Well, it's like I spent a year and a half wooing this woman.
Yeah.
You know, making in, you know, trying to build a, let the fans, you know, believe in our love story, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of like Victoria and Stitch together. Mm-hmm. So I worked hard, you know, for like a year and a half, like, you know, maturing that relationship that we had as actors. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're just like, oh yeah, hey, so you and Victoria are going to break up and you're going to be with her sister. I was like, this, really? That's just like that? Like,
wow.
That fast? And so we did that. Mm-hmm. It was cool. I think that it's taken some time for Abby and I to kind of
connect,
and we're getting, but our relationship is starting to grow now, and, mm-hmm. and getting to work with her and Eileen has been, it's been awesome.
What's it been like?
Sorry, that was a very long
that's
answer.
That's totally fine. What is it like being like a fan favorite now? Because you totally are, like, you're like the underdog / we love this guy now.
You know, It's overwhelming. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty great. I don't really think of it like that.
Okay.
I think it's awesome that the fans think that. Mm-hmm. I just try to come in and play the character real, mm-hmm. and just give him like a real life.
Okay.
And so that's kind of what I think about. I try not to think about that.
What does it feel like when, because you guys are in our houses like 5 days a week, right? And so, what does it feel like when people probably call you Stitch? Like, is it, because like I feel like with other actors
on the street?
Yeah, like I feel like that's.
I love it.
Okay,
that's awesome. I don't care.
Good, that's amazing.
Yo, what's up, man?
So it doesn't bother you to separate.
No, and then it's so funny. Like people say to me, they're like, "Hey, hey, Stitch," and they're like, "Oh, sorry, I called you Stitch." And I'm like, "It's Sean, but don't worry, call me Stitch. I don't care." You know, it's whatever.
What's the best time or the best part about being an actor on daytime?
The schedule and the pace, it really teaches. It's like actor's boot camp.
Okay.
Because you have to come in prepared. You have to come in and make your choices. Mm-hmm. You have to make them quick, and you know, you have to either adjust and adapt, mm-hmm. or you'll be gone.
Right.
You know, you see a lot of characters. I've seen a lot of characters come and go.
Yes.
These last 2 years, and so you have to be able to. You have to be ready. Mm-hmm. Just be prepared. And you learn that from soaps and daytime more than you would on, let's say, you know, a primetime show or a film. Mm-hmm.
How does it play into the fact that you have a bit of a serious character? Obviously, you're Dr. Man on the show, right. But you have a comedic background and you're a stand-up comedian. Yeah. So how does that work, the balance? Like, do you try to bring a bit? Because I feel sometimes I see the little fun side of you.
I try to every once in a while. And you know, every once in a while, I try to say a line funny or, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll sneak something in at the mm-hmm. end or like a funny look or, you know, I try to, and every once in a while they're like, could you just not do that?
Could just you do the soap opera
could
stare?
Could you just tag out and just give her the stare? Like, do you have to like do an act? You know,
how do you like doing the soap opera stare? Because you have to do it. I've seen you have to do the soap opera stare.
Yeah.
Was that like a prerequisite? Did you have to show them that in casting?
No.
Like, I can do the soap opera stare?
No, but I have it. It's part of my bit because I do stand up. Like I said, mm-hmm. I did the
Comedy Nest,
the
right?
Comedy Nest. I did two shows on Saturday. That place is great, by the way.
Awesome.
That was Friday.
Friday night. Yeah.
Anyways. So I have this thing where, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know that you had to like hold your look. And so Christian hates talking about this, by the way. It's hilarious. I think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious that you have to hold that look.
Yeah.
And the first scene I ever did was with Dylan, and I say, hey man, you know, he's like, you haven't changed a bit. And I'm like, you have. And it's like, and then I'm like,
nice.
I just said all my dialogue. He said his. Is anybody going to say cut?
Oh my God.
What is going on here? And wow. He's just like, and he's like looking at me and I'm like, what is going on? Like, do I have another line that I forgot? Did I forget to say something
else?
Oh my
God.
Why were we still doing this look? And then finally they said cut. And I was like, I was like, I guess that's what we do. I guess we have to
hold a look. It's like a thing. It's obviously a thing.
Please. Christian.
Okay. I won't ask him that question then. I'm glad you warned me.
It's amazing.
Please tell me you're going to stay on the show for a long time. Cause you're great. And I feel like you're a breath of fresh air, like legit. Like you are a breath of fresh air to the cast. And
I think I'd say, look, I'm honored that you say that. Mm-hmm. I feel honored that you say that. It's exciting. I just signed another 2-year contract.
Amazing. Okay. Thank you.
So,
yay. We got the breaking news. Great.
Yeah. And, I think everybody thought I was going to die in the fire.
Yes, I was worried.
Everybody thought that was it for me. And
okay.
I'm here.
And last thing before I let you go, sure. How important are your fans to you? Because you have a lot of social media followers. Like, how important is it?
Are you kidding me? They're awesome. My fans are so important to me that I would do anything for them.
Nice.
Is that good?
I totally believe that.
I love all my fans. You guys are the best. You're the reason I'm here. No, they are. And so... I'm serious.
And I said last question, but now this is a real last question. Who's your best buddy on the set?
Ooh, you know, I probably Christian LeBlanc.
Really, eh? That's
great.
Because I always find it's like not who you're
in scenes
with.
But it's weird. Like, you know, I have a friendship. You just have different friendships.
Right.
I hang out with Robert Adamson a lot.
Okay, yeah.
He and I are buddies. Noah.
Yeah.
For everybody. I hang out with... obviously, Michael Baldwin.
Yeah.
And Christian's kind of crazy, goofy like me.
Yeah.
And so when he and I go to places, I even got him to do stand up. I got him to, you know, because I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And so when we go places, we always have fun, mm-hmm. goof around. And, you know, we've even talked about doing like a 2-man improv team.
Oh, that would be great.
And so we're thinking about starting that after January, after the holidays.
Okay.
And so, so I hang out with him a lot, Noah. Yeah, there's a whole bunch.
Changes.
You know, Steve Burton. Mm-hmm. You know, I hang out with him, or it also depends on who's there on set
right.
that day.
Right.
And so, So I get along with everybody. I try to.
Sean, thank you so much for spending time with us on the show.
All right, thank you so much.
Sean Kerrigan, Young and the Restless, on the Kelly Alexander Show.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Like us on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show.
We're happy to welcome back to the show an artist we first spoke to back in 2012 when she was promoting her album Backstage Heroin, which was described as a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll. Emily is now offering up her latest single called Worst Enemy, which has her switching gears to a more pop sensibility. Emily, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I wanted to ask you how you've been the last few years when it comes to, I guess, your sound and even with your songwriting, because I'm assuming as time goes by and more experience you get, you just keep stretching and growing as an artist.
Absolutely. I think on the songwriting side of things, in the last few years at least, I've also been doing a lot more co-writing than I ever have, not only for my own music, but for other artists as well. So that inevitably has definitely stretched my songwriting wings and sort of grown into this new sound for me.
Okay.
That strangely is, I guess, an old sound. And I only say that because pop music is some of my earliest influences. So it might seem strange on the outside, but it makes absolute sense in my own head.
That's awesome. Now, I was reading that you were influenced this time around quite a bit by TLC, Lauryn Hill, and Janet Jackson, which is awesome because all of my listeners know I'm a huge Janet fan, so this is exciting for me. So is that, like, would you say you took colors of them into Worst Enemy?
Yeah, absolutely, especially with the beat of the song. I mean, that's like an old loop from that was actually resampled in the 90s, but it I think overall we were kind of going for something that had a bit of like a dancey anthemic vibe that felt contemporary. But between myself and my producer Karen Kozowski, we definitely have a shared love of late 80s and early to mid 90s pop music, and so we brought a lot of that in with us, not only for this song, but this is sort of the first song in an EP that's going to come later in the year that will show some of those influences even more.
Actually, that's great that you mentioned, because I was wondering if you were going to release more songs with regards to Worst Enemy, because something I would ask you is, do you find that nowadays it's more of a singles market as opposed to an album market?
I think it really is, especially when you're especially if you're either starting out for the first time or if you are switching gears to a new sound. I think it's good to just start getting things out slowly and getting people into what you're doing with one song, and that really allows them to focus on something. I think what tends to happen when people put out a full body of work, and don't get me wrong, I love full bodies of work, I love EPs, I love albums, but I think as a general population, our attention spans have just shrunk so much that if you just give us one song, then we can really pay attention to it and listen to it, and then we'll be ready for something else. And then it's kind of like you're just kind of getting people on your team and helping them understand who you are one song at a time, as opposed to throwing like 10 songs at them, which I think just very few people have time to focus that much energy onto 10 songs, you know?
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to your EP that's coming, is it going to be like 4 or 5 songs?
I think it's going to be around 6 songs.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a proper EP. And then we'll see what happens after that. But I definitely want to get out this little collection of songs because they do have a certain vibe together that I would love for people to hear.
Now, last time you were on the show, we talked about, I guess, a little bit about the environment, like the Toronto scene. Is that still where you're sort of at? And do you have any aspirations to maybe, and maybe you've already done this, I don't know, like to go write in Nashville, for example?
Yeah, I've been going to both Nashville and LA for the past 5 years. And I love both of those cities. I love spending time, especially, I mean, I love LA because who doesn't love sunshine and palm trees and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But from a musical standpoint, Nashville is an incredibly like tight-knit community of people who are just so hyper-focused on music that when you're there, you just suddenly feel normal.
Yeah.
As opposed to when you're a musician in a big city and there's all kinds of people doing all kinds of things, you're still that like weird person at the dinner party who's like, what you make a living from music? What? Like, I don't understand this. Whereas in Nashville, it's just like the norm to be a musician or a songwriter, and everyone is doing it.
Wow.
And I do like that about those cities. And I think I will probably end up spending more time in either, if not both of those cities, sometime in my life soon.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the Toronto scene and then maybe even expand that further into the Canadian scene? Like, how are you finding our music lately?
I think that we're doing amazing things. I mean, I guess everyone saw those articles that came out recently with, you know, Drake and Bieber and The Weeknd all being like in the top five of the Billboard chart or something like that. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's no reason why Canadian music shouldn't be at, you know, the forefront of the international scene. It's just a really exciting time. I think there's a lot of amazing music being made here and across all genres, really.
And what do you feel about some of the artists that, because you mentioned, you know, The Weeknd and Justin Bieber and Drake, who have all been able to attain international success, so not even just in the States, but all over the world. But what about bands that do extremely well here, and I'm even artists as well, like a Headley, like a Mariana's Trench, you know, who just keep crisscrossing our country and making it happen here. Where do you find that you fall into those two categories?
Well, I think that it's a beautiful thing that we really nurture our artists here as well. There's a lot of support. There's a lot of government support. There's a lot of ways that artists are able to make a living and do the initiatives with marketing and that kind of thing within our country that my understanding is most countries, and especially in the United States, they don't have anything like that. So it is great that we're able to build those kinds of lasting careers mm-hmm. and champion artists within Canada. For myself, I've definitely done a bit of crisscrossing in Canada. And I've done some shows in the States and in Europe. I would love to break into those markets a little bit more. But it's always just, it's a bit of a, well, not only a matter of time, but also you have to create your story in Canada usually before those next steps happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you get played on the radio and sell lots of concert tickets and then bring it to another country.
Awesome. Joining us on the show is singer-songwriter Emma Lee. You can check out her website, emma-lee.com. That's emma-lee.com. And, of course, you can find all of her social media there as well. I did want to take you back to Worst Enemy for a second with regards to the single. What do you want people to take away from it lyrically? Because it sounds like it's got a pretty big message behind it.
Yeah, I think the song came really organically, and I was literally just humming those "I was born wild, I was born free, but I grew up my own worst enemy" one morning before I had a songwriting session. And I didn't really know what it meant at the time until I started digging into where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what it means to me is that when we all come into this world, we are born wild and free. We're really innocent. And I think that over time, you know, people influence our lives, events influence our lives that can change us and make us start to question who we are. And I just wanted to write a song that kind of captured that, but also hopefully inspired people to live unapologetically, because things do happen to us, but that doesn't mean we have to give in to those things. We should always be trying to get in touch with more of our childhood selves,
mm-hmm.
if you want to put it that way. But yeah, I think it's just something that we all feel over time, and I wanted to put that into a song.
Now, the last time we spoke, we also talked about how some of your music had actually received placement in TV shows and also in movies like Tyler Perry's mm-hmm. Why Did I Get Married To. Have you continued along that side of the industry as well since we've last spoke?
Yes, absolutely. I have a song coming out on the new CBC show called Hello Goodbye.
Okay.
That's going to be on March 4th, and that's my song All the Way, which was a single that I put out just before Worst Enemy.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool. And then what do you want your fans and new fans to know about you, the artist? Like, you know, because there's so many, you know, recording artists out there. What makes you stand out?
Oh, dear.
I'm all about asking the big questions.
I have to answer this myself. Oh, my goodness. I just love writing songs that are really kind of can become the fabric of somebody's life. I'd want to write a song that people can sing along to and that they feel deeply. Mm-hmm. I don't write fluffy songs. I write songs that are real and that people can connect to, but I also love writing melodies that you just can't get out of your head. So that's really important to me. And yeah, I hope that people feel that.
I did want to ask you, too, about, you know, we talked a little bit about the some of the bands that are in Canada and all that sort of stuff. I wanted to ask you if there's a bit of a sisterhood between, like, the female artists out there, like, and especially some of the up-and-comers like Jocelyn Alice. I know she's been around for a little while, but she's been getting lots of play in the last year, I would say, with Jackpot. And then Rhea May, of course, is coming up and doing good things. And then, you know, Victoria Duffield's still around. Serena Ryder, I believe, is coming back out soon with new music. Are you guys all really supportive of one another?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I actually just had a writing session with Victoria just at the end of last year, and she was really sweet and heard some of my new music and tweeted it at her fans. So I think that's a really obvious, you know, representation of being supportive of each other. I wrote a song on her last album, and I think there's a lot of collaboration that goes on. I feel like there is a really strong connection between everyone because it is such a hard business, you know. You don't want to make it harder. You want to just support everyone as best you can. Mm-hmm. And I haven't met Jocelyn or Rhea May, but I love their music and they seem like lovely people.
I think you should meet them. I think they'd be cool. I think you should all have like a song together.
We should have a party?
Yeah, exactly. You should have a songwriting party and come out with something. And before I let you go, what can your fan expect from you in the next couple of months? I know that the EP is on the way, but do you plan to be touring across Canada and maybe beyond those borders?
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing a little promo tour in March, and I'm hoping to also do some concert dates along with that. Mm-hmm. So I'll be announcing some live dates really soon, and they'll be on my website and Facebook and that kind of thing. And then I'll just be getting the EP ready, and that will be a little bit later this year. And yeah, I'm sure there will be live dates popping up throughout, so best to just check in on my social media. I always keep that stuff up to date. So that's kind of what's happening. And I'll be going back to LA and Nashville this year just to keep writing, both for myself and for other artists.
That's awesome. Well, we love that you are doing so well, and we're happy that you came back on the show, and you're welcome back anytime. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
That is singer and songwriter Emma Lee. And again, make sure to check out her website, emma-lee.com, where you will find all of her information and all of her social media.
Hey, this is Emma Lee, and you're hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show, and this is my song, Worst Enemy.
For a moment I believed, didn't know what I was up against, came by it honestly. I'm a saint and a sinner, a loser and a winner, a lover and a fighter, I make no apologies, 'cause I was born wild. All the losers and the winners, all the lovers and the fighters.
refugees, all the doubtful dreamers, all the faithless believers. When you look in the mirror, what do you see?
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
As always, thank you so much for spending time with us on the show this week. We want to thank our guests, Tinashe, Classified, Sean Kerrigan, and Emma Lee. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, this time coming from Arnold Schwarzenegger. The resistance that you fight physically in the gym and the resistance that you fight in life can only build a strong character. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media. You can find them on our website, KellyAlexanderShow.com. And of course, please make sure to check out our YouTube channel featuring all of our interviews, youtube.com/KellyAlexanderShow. Have an excellent week. You and I will chat soon.